Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with Sarah McInerney and Cormac O'Hara.
Now, today the Labour Party have brought a motion before the Dáil to demand action for young carers. Their social protection spokesperson Mark Wall has said that over 67,000 young carers between the ages of 10 and 17 in Ireland provide regular and ongoing unpaid care to a family member. He says this can have a profound impact on their educational outcomes, mental health and life opportunities. And he's calling on the government to establish a cross-departmental working group for these young heroes. Well, Sarah Ann Budde from Tuam is one of the young carers who made a presentation to the Dáil earlier today, and she joins us now on the line. We're also joined by Catherine Cox, who's Head of Communications and Policy at Family Carers Ireland, and you're both very welcome to the programme. And Sarah Ann, I might come to yourself first. Can you tell me a little bit about your own story? Maybe first you might tell us how many are in the family.
Yes, of course. So my name is Sarah Ann Budde. I'm nearly 16 years old, and I come from a big family. I have five siblings, and then I have my parents. And I care for my little sister, Esther. She was born with Down syndrome and AVSD 4 years ago. And basically, in day-to-day, I take care of her. I do physiotherapies with her. I do speech and language therapy. And I often have to leave school early to go to hospital appointments and different things like that.
So you really have a lot of responsibilities when it comes to Esther.
Yeah, quite a few, yeah. I share it with my mum, of course, though. She's the main caregiver.
Sure, of course. When Esther came along, I suppose life would have changed for the whole family, wouldn't it? Because your parents would have had to give her quite a bit more time. I know she was in hospital for a couple of months after she was born.
Yeah, so basically she was born June 2023. And I suppose it was a big shock for us because mum and dad didn't really come back from the hospital as usual a day after. They just came, like, it was kind of an in and out. I didn't see my mum for the first, 4 weeks, I think, after Esther was born. And my dad was very much in and out. So I'd be at home kind of taking care of my three siblings at the time. And I'd be getting them ready for school and for their activities and just to have their lunches packed, making lunches, dinner, and just kind of keeping the house in order.
And right now, how is Esther? How does she cope day to day, or what sort of minding do you have to do for her?
So basically last year she was diagnosed with a very rare disease called Graves' disease as the youngest patient in the world. So she was assigned a treatment that if she basically took this treatment, we wouldn't be able to contact her, any physical touch or anything, for 48 hours after receiving the medication. So we couldn't go with it. So basically her results aren't coming back that well, but she has no symptoms. So that's a good thing. But she does obviously breathe heavily because of her heart defect, and she has Down syndrome, which leads to thyroid problems and a delay in speech and obviously walking and doing basic day-to-day actions.
Do you worry about her?
Yeah, every single day, whenever I leave for school, and especially whenever I hear that ambulance siren. I don't know, even if it's distant or anything, it's kind of like fear grips me every time, and I'm just like, oh boy, is she okay? Is that for Esther? It's a constant kind of worry that you carry around.
She's very lucky to have you, Sarah Ann.
I hope so.
Yeah, no, I can tell you that she is. Do you have less time, do you find, for schoolwork then, or spending time with friends because of, I suppose, looking after Esther or looking after the house?
Well, I mean, I do try and balance my studying and things. Well, meeting friends, that's a completely different thing. I don't get to do that often. Like, I do meet my friends, but it's just, I try to keep it reasonable as well because I do know that my help is needed at home. So I can't just be in and out all the time going to discos or parties. I don't have time for that because I kind of face real problems, not silly little problems that my friends deal with. And I suppose I also care about my education quite a lot as well. So any free time that I would have, I would kind of dedicate to studying and trying to educate myself because I'd like to pursue a career in medicine. So, yeah.
You say that young carers exist in the shadows. So do you feel unseen then?
See, in my case, I feel that I'm able to cope with it better than a lot of young carers that I do know. People at school that I know are young carers, they take it as such a big stigma and they don't want to talk about it at all. And there's just no supports for them. And they just, like I was talking to someone the other day and they said that they're like their daughter, he's obviously a young carer, and she was just crying the whole day. She just didn't know how to cope with it. And I feel so much sympathy for those people, because obviously they might not be as strong in their way of thinking, or they can't maybe embrace it as such. But in my case, it's been fine. But even in my brother's, he took it quite difficult when Esther was born. So
yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot for the whole family to deal with and to try to adapt to. Are you able to talk to your friends about it? Do you have anyone you can talk to about it that could understand?
I suppose I do try and talk to my friends about it sometimes, but they try to be understanding, but they can't quite be understanding because they aren't in my shoes and they don't really know what it's like. But I do talk to other young carers, and I have become quite friendly with loads of them. So we do have like an online support group once a week, and we just talk about our stories, about our weeks, and we do some fun little drawings and just small little activities, and we talk about our caring situation. So I suppose that's one way where you can just talk kind of freely about your experience without being judged.
What would help, do you think, your life at the moment? I mean, I know one thing that you asked for today is more mental health support.
Personally, what I think would be a big help is recognition and awareness in schools, because there's loads of principals and teachers that aren't really understanding of situations that a young carer is in. They would think that they're okay with it, but not everybody is bubbly about that topic. Somebody could be scared, and someone could really, obviously there's big percentages of like having depression as a young carer too. So they just need to be recognized at schools, and they need to be talked to, and just something simple, even if a student, to every student out there, if they just know someone's a young carer, just simply just saying, hello, how are you? Like acknowledging that they can have it difficult. So if they're in a bad mood, just try and talk to them and try and be understanding, even though it doesn't always work.
Yeah, I'm sure. And you'd also like some more respite activities, I suppose, just a chance maybe to be a teenager.
Exactly, yeah.
Do you mind staying on the line, Sarah? And if you don't mind, we also have Catherine Cox with us as well. And Catherine, you're very welcome. I think Sarah Ann has outlined it better than anyone could, given her own experience. But what impact does caring have on younger people?
Yeah, so look, Sarah Ann has said it so articulately there. And, you know, as you said at the start, there's 67,000 young carers in this country. We have done research which shows that 80% of young carers are at clinical risk of depression, and 56% of young carers surveyed struggle to cope. They can fall behind in school, miss out on social opportunities, can feel huge isolation without intervention and supports. And I think that's really, really important to say, because, you know, most of the caring that young carers do is for their brothers, their sisters, they're helping their parents. And that's normal family life in a way. But it becomes too much when that family is not supported. And it's the wider family, including the parent who may be the primary carer, but also young carers and other siblings within a family as well. So a huge thing for us is we need, first of all, awareness that there are young carers out there. There is a stigma around that. People don't like to talk about it. It's uncomfortable. So rather than talk about it, they say, oh, no, that doesn't exist. It does exist. We need to acknowledge that. We need to recognize that. And we need to support these young people. And we need to do that in primary school, in secondary school, and into third level education as well. Because without those supports, those young people can fall behind, unfortunately.
It's really interesting, Catherine, you say that, because we were discussing young carers on the show a couple of weeks ago as well, and we got a text from someone saying, my heart goes cold every time I hear that term, because young carers shouldn't exist. But as you say, that's to deny the reality.
It is. And by denying it, we're continuing to overlook them. We're undervaluing what they do, and we're not supporting them. And, you know, we need to support every family where there's a caring role. And I just heard the minister was talking there a few moments ago, Minister Norma Foley, about the carer guarantee, which is in the programme for government. And there is a commitment to do that. Yet we haven't seen all the funding for that. So until we fully fund carer support in this country for both young carers but for all family carers, they will continue to go unsupported and unrecognized. And for young people, you know, it is taking away their childhood to a degree. One of the young carers said there today, I have no time to be just a kid. Like, that is heartbreaking, but that's their reality. So we have to support them. And when we talk about supporting, we are talking about things like respite, giving a break away from the caring role, giving the family the support that they need, whether it's training, whether it's access to information, counselling, online supports. And in Family Carers Ireland, we have just two young care workers across the whole country, and they are not government funded. We fund them ourselves. So we need to see young care supports funded in this country. We need to see government take that responsibility. We need the Department of Children, Equality, Disability and Integration and the Department of Education in particular, but also the Department of Health to come on board and look at how we can put in meaningful support to ensure that young carers do not have to struggle.
Okay, and Sarah Ann, I'm sure you'd welcome all of those things being done. Can I just let you know, lots of people getting in touch with the programme just to express their admiration for you and what you're doing. One person, I think, summing it up by saying the future of the country is in good hands, and I wish you the very best in, with your medical studies, and hopefully that all goes well, because I think we could do with doctors like yourself in the system, Sarah Ann. And thank you so much for joining us, and the very best to you and your family. That's Sarah Ann Vidae from Tuam, and also Catherine Cox.